Hello, and welcome to our first episode of Women in Scrubs, a podcast that aims to educate young women about the medical field through the lens of female medical professionals in a variety of specialties. My name is Elizabeth.
And my name is Avika. Today we are joined by Dr. Dami Babaniji, who is a hospitalist doctor at Methodist Hospital. She will be sharing about what her job entails, her work-life balance, and her life outside of the hospital. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us and sharing your experiences about being a woman in the medical field.
Absolutely, anytime.
Could you give us a brief overview of what your job entails as a hospitalist doctor?
Sure. So as a hospitalist doctor, I tell people what I do is pretty much any patient that goes to the emergency room and needs to be seen by a that needs to be admitted to the hospital. So you see an emergency room doctor, they assess you and think, okay, this patient needs to come into the hospital versus go home and follow up with their primary care doctor. So they give me a call and call me to admit that patient. So I assess the patient and make sure they're actually meet criteria for admission. And once they do, we get them in. And I kind of serve as their primary care doctor within the hospital. So if I think they need to see a specialist, like a cardiologist or a nephrologist, those specialists cannot see my patient without me reaching out. So I'm kind of like the middle point of all the services in the hospital for that patient, if that makes sense.
Yeah, amazing. Yes, interesting. Thank you.
So what would a typical day look like for you?
So a typical day for me starts about 6 o'clock in the morning, and usually it's a 12-hour shift. So I go to the hospital. I have my assigned patients. I do what we call a chart check or chart review and look over what brought the patient to the hospital. If it's a new patient to me, what was the presenting concern? What tests have they done and what is the current plan? Whether do I agree with it or do I need to make some changes? So I do that in the morning. I get to work maybe 7:30, depending on whether I'm on call or not. I chart check for about an hour or so. And then round in all my patients and talk with case management, bedside nurses, physical therapy, anybody that's involved in the care of that patient. And then I head back to my office and start doing the notes for the day. Also call in family members that need to be involved or updated on patient care, as well as also discharging patient, because that's the time when you've assessed them, you kind of, if they meet criteria to be discharged, I discharge patients. If I happen to be on call, we have calls sometimes those days. Call depends on whether I'm in the teaching service with the residents and the medical students, or if I'm private call, do some call and admit patients to the hospital. So it can get pretty busy for those days. But the days when I'm not on call, I round up my patients, discharge whoever needs to be discharged, finish the notes. And for the most part, at least in our institution, you're good to go while being available for pages or anything throughout the day until 6 o'clock in the evening, if that makes sense. So it can get pretty busy, but once you get into a routine of things, it gets better.
Yeah, wow, that's a busy day. Could you tell us about what cases you most frequently see as a hospitalist, and how does that differ from other inpatient specialties?
Oh, great question. So the hospitalist is pretty much the everything and anything that comes to the hospital, we take on. Even patients that need to come in for surgery, a lot of times the surgeons want us to optimize them medically to make sure that they're stable for whatever type of surgery they're trying to have. Or, for instance, maybe a specialist like a cardiologist sometimes wants to have a procedure done in the hospital. They usually like the hospitalist to be on board because we see big picture view. We're looking from the cardiologist looking at the heart. As a hospitalist, I'm looking at the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, all the things, but not just in a focused manner. So they like us to see that big picture. So I could see heart failure, I could see kidney injury, I could see infections, I could see lung infections, I could see strokes, I could see abdominal pain. So everything and anything that comes to the hospital, a hospitalist pretty much can see. And when we feel like, you know, we need extra help, then we get our specialists to get on board to help us assist us with that.
Amazing.
Got it. Thank you. What would you say is the most challenging part about your job?
I would say sometimes it can get so busy that it's hard to keep up with so many things going on at the same time. Because, for instance, the nurses want to, have questions. The family has questions. The therapists have questions. The specialists want to get in touch with you. So you're like this middleman that's being pulled in so many directions and can get a bit overwhelming some days, but having a system down pat on how, okay, I'm gonna respond to the most important things, and just you become a, I guess, a pro at time management and juggling all the things. And that also helps translate, honestly, to your private life, where you're able to manage your time well and know that, okay, I only have this much time. So being effective and efficient. But I would say the workload can get pretty busy sometimes. And also, just when patients are sick, sometimes they're not at their best, right? So you have to be have a high level of emotional intelligence to be able to meet people where they're at and not take a lot of things personally. It's hard sometimes, but that's some of the hard things that you have to deal with.
Yeah. And kind of on the opposite end of that, what's like the most fulfilling or rewarding thing about your job?
I would say when you see a patient come in really, really sick and you're like, I don't know how we can help, and then you see them slowly get better because of your interventions, that can be pretty fulfilling and rewarding. Also, I think for, as a hospitalist, I would speak to the part that I'm able to practice medicine, but also kind of have a little bit of a life, right? Because of how our schedule is. Sorry if you hear my son at the background. That's part of my life. We can kind of have a life at work and life at home. And so, as a hospitalist, that's one of the things I really liked about it. And when I was in training, that's one of the things I really wanted to go into hospital medicine for, is because of the lifestyle it affords.
Interesting.
Awesome.
Thank you. So, what inspired you to pursue a career in medicine? And I know you kind of already mentioned like why you chose being a hospitalist, but like, could you just elaborate on that a little?
So medicine in itself was from when I was a young girl, about 8 years old, not 8 o'clock, 8 years old. My brother was really sick, and I remember being in the hospital with my mom. And my mom, I could remember her just, I don't remember specifics, but I remember her being very anxious because he was very, very sick. And I do remember the physician coming in to talk to my mom, and I could just see the difference in her demeanor, and she felt this sense of, okay, I'm okay. And I could literally see the change from her being so stressed and her hearing from this human being that just came to give her good news. And I just thought, I want to do that for people. I want to be able to share good news with them, and not even considering the part that there's always the bad news sometimes, right? But just knowing that there was what I call this angel of mercy that was able to help my mom feel good by just sharing with her. That was my, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And so that was where the birthing seeds of wanting to be a physician. And of course, I actually went to, started college and university with the idea of wanting to obviously be a doctor, because that's what I wanted to do. But I got scared as a sophomore because I got overwhelmed. I don't like organic chemistry. I don't like biochemistry. All the chemistries, I do not like any of, I didn't like them. So just to put it out there for any girls out there, though, anyone listening, that you think you have to love those subjects to be a doctor, those are just some necessary prerequisites to get to what you need to get to. I don't use any of those anymore. I don't even remember, oh my goodness, the Krebs cycle. I just realized I needed to just get through those to get to where I needed to get to. But the thought of, oh my goodness, this is so hard. I hate this. What if I'm not cut out to be a doctor, right? So I kind of did a little detour and I went into nursing and did nursing for about 4 years, but I always wanted to still be a doctor. I would like be rounding, I'll hear the doctors rounding, and I'll kind of listen in to how they're thinking, their thought process. And I was still so fascinated with the idea of medicine and being a doctor and all that. So that was kind of how all the things started. And I finally went back to get my medical degree. So very long detour, but finally got there.
Wow, that's
Amazing.
very inspiring. Thank you. People are often worried that being a medical student or being a doctor will take a lot of time away from their social life and life outside of work. And do you think that that's true, or do you think that you can have a bigger life outside of medicine and your job?
Having a life outside of medicine is very possible. Obviously, it depends on what kind of specialty you pick. For me, I feel like I have a good balanced life outside of medicine because of, like I told you, being a hospitalist, I get to have a bit more balanced schedule than maybe a traditional surgeon or someone else may. But I think one of the things a lot of people think about medicine is you get what you get and you don't throw a fit kind of thing. Well, you can design the life you want. You can schedule the life you want and have that as a mindset. Like, you know what? I can still be a mom or a wife or whatever I want to do and plan medicine around my life because medicine is just a little piece of who you are. It's not your entire life. And so, yes, it can get busy depending on what specialty you're in, but you can also decide to work part-time. You can work full-time, you can work, you can kind of design the life you want, but in my life I'm able to have kind of like the balance I need to be present at home with my three kids, as well as practice medicine and some other things that I'm involved into. So, yes.
Amazing. Thank you.
Great.
So, being a woman in the medical field, have you noticed any like challenges or like have people ever treated you differently because you are a woman? And if so, how have you overcome that?
So obviously being in medicine is a male-dominated field, but it's slowly changing. The landscape's changing. Initially, way back when I was in medical school or training or even thinking of getting into it, I don't remember seeing a lot of as a Black female physician, I did not see any at all. So it was kind of out there, like, oh, is this even possible? So you're in a male-dominated field and you don't even see anyone that looks like you, makes it even like, oh, it's not possible. But yes, those were the challenges of, is this even possible? Do I fit? Do I belong? But having a strong sense of why am I doing this? Why is this important? Would be that guiding light for you. But being in a male-dominated field, you obviously have a lot more challenges that male physicians don't have to deal with that they don't even think about. But seeing other females, seeing other women doctors, can be a sense of a source of inspiration. Like, if they can do this, I could do this too. The first time I met a woman cardiologist was when I was in training, and I was like in shock for like, I was just staring at her like, you are a woman cardiologist? Like, that wasn't even something I entertained because in my mind, being a cardiologist is just being a guy. But so seeing those kind of stories give you more like, you know what? If she can do it, I can do it too. So yes, it's just more that representation that matters, really.
Yeah. And kind of going off on that, you touched on this a little bit, but what's a key piece of advice that you would give high school girls that are considering going into the and pursuing medicine?
Absolutely. I would say, like I said earlier, have a strong sense of why. Why do I want to do this? The old motivation of people doing it because dad was, or mom was, or my family is pushing me to do it is not enough. We've seen a lot of people that go into it with that motivation because they want to appease the parent or somebody, and then you get there, you hate it. Like, you can absolutely hate medicine, or you can get easily burned out when your internal values are not connected to what you're, it's good work, but is it right for you? So before you step into that world of medicine and all that rigorous demands of what medicine kind of requires of us, make sure you have a strong sense of why. Why do I want to do this? And is there anything else I could do that would satisfy me in that way? Or if you can think of, I cannot imagine doing nothing else, then keep going, right? Don't give up on your dream because someone said no. And that's another thing. Along your path, you're going to get a lot of people saying, oh, I don't know if you should do this. I had a lot of that, girls. Like, I had a lot of people think because I got pregnant, because, hey, I'm a mom. I was a wife when I was still applying, and I got pregnant. And I remember talking to my advisor, and he's like, yeah, I don't know that, you'd be able to get into medical school and all that. But I had a deep sense of no, this, you just have an inner knowing, like, no, I know know I should be doing this. Listen to that inner voice and just kind of keep plowing through, but know the kind of difference you want to make. Know your why, know what's driving you, and just keep going and surround yourself with the right people. So don't give up because someone said you're not good enough. Who are they? They don't, I mean, they can determine that for you, right? So you have to just have that sense of, I'm going to keep going. If that answers your question.
That's
Yes, it does.
amazing
That's
advice.
perfect.
Thank
Thank you.
you. This is a little bit off topic, but how has the COVID-19 pandemic kind of affected your job?
That's a really good question. COVID definitely made a lot of huge changes for us in the medical field, especially I was a definite frontliner. So emergency room, hospitalist, ICU, we saw a lot of the COVID patients come through. And it definitely caused a lot of emotional distress for a lot of us. COVID was when I actually got burned out with medicine and actually thought about quitting because it was something we had never been prepared for. We were just walking into this very dark room without any light. And, there was a lot of misinformation you had to fight when you come out from work. You had to get home and take care of your kids and your family. And so I felt like I was being pulled in two different directions that were demanding a lot from me. And so, but one thing COVID did help me learn, though, was that I determined what kind of life and career I wanted. And that's what helped me be clear on how much of medicine I want to, how much uptime I want to give to medicine, and how much time I want to give to other areas of my life that I wasn't honoring because I just thought I'm a doctor and that's all I'm meant to be. Well, not necessarily, right? It was through COVID and being burned out that I found more of my hidden passions of inspiring women and talking with women and having little girlfriend meetups and things like that, and had lunch in my little lipstick brand that's like my big Barbie dollhouse for a creative outlet. It was through COVID and getting burned out and recovering from burnout that I learned some of my hidden passions that I really wasn't honoring. So even though COVID brought the worst out of us as humans, I think it also birthed something for me personally. I call it the beauty of my burnout. It birthed beautiful things and made me more intentional about the kind of life I want to live and the way I want to spend my time. And so I don't live with regret because that was something I saw a lot of people dying with regret with COVID. So I wanted to be intentional about living without regret and living intentionally. So that's what COVID kind of helped with, if to kind of get back to your question. Yes.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. And you mentioned this a little bit earlier on in the interview, but how did your education help shape your path and career?
Honestly, going into it, and that's something a lot of people need to be clear on or just be aware of, is you may not know what you want to specialize in. I didn't know. I just know I wanted to be a doctor. But one of the things you want to pay attention to is what are the things that really excite you? For me, I realized I don't want to be stuck, like at least in residency, when I had to do my subspecialty rotation. And that just means doing like a cardiology rotation or nephrology rotation or very specific specialty fields of medicine. I realized by the second or third day, I'm like, I don't want to see this anymore. I get bored easily doing the same thing. But that's also my personality. I love variety. I love to see a little bit of everything. I don't want to get too knee deep in one particular area. So that personality kind of started showing through in the kind of decision of medicine I wanted to practice, which is a hospitalist. Like I told you earlier, we see a little bit of everything. And so that personality of me wanting variety and getting bored doing the same thing over and over again led me to being a hospitalist because I get to see a bit of, I'm a bit nosy, is what I would say. I want to know what's going on everywhere. And I also wanted to be, when I wanted to decide, when I decided a hospitalist, I wanted to be a kind of doctor personally where I kept thinking, if I'm on the airplane and something happens and I'm just an OBGYN, not just, but an OBGYN, I would forget like my general medicine stuff. I wasn't ready to let go of my, like the internal medicine part of things. I wanted to be able to address any problem anywhere and be comfortable doing that. So that was something that I That kind of helped to guide my decisions. Like, I want to be effective wherever I go. And not saying, and let me rephrase, not saying the OBGYNs or any specialty is not effective. Absolutely not, because they have to learn all the things. But for me personally, I just wanted to still be in the world of diabetes and high blood pressure and all these things that we get to see in hospital medicine that other fields probably don't spend as much time on, because that's not the focus of what they're training. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I know you mentioned about how important like keeping a work-life balance is for you. So how are some like specific ways that you try to balance like work and family time and other hobbies?
Yeah, so I give work work and I give home home. And as a hospitalist, we get to pick, my schedule is different from a traditional outpatient doctor that goes 8 to 5 Monday through Friday every week. I do 12 days a month. So my 12 days is I work Monday through Friday, 12-hour shifts, and then Monday through Sunday, 12-hour shift. And the rest of the 2 weeks, I'm doing other things like catching up with family life and, my business and all these other things. So for me, my kids know when I'm at work, my work weeks, mommy's busy and mommy's not as present. She's here, but she's more, probably more tired than, like my off weeks when I'm more present and I can pick them up from school. And even when I'm working, some days when I get off early, I can still pick them up from school because that's important to me. Kind of be a part of their extracurricular activities. But those off weeks, my on weeks, I'm very busy as a hospitalist. On my off weeks, I catch up with life and work and business and everything else that I have to do. So you get to, like I told you get to design that life, even though it seems prescriptive, like this is how it's supposed to be, this is how you do it. Well, not necessarily. You have that power too. A lot of times I didn't know that until I got burned out in COVID and I realized, well, this is not how I want to practice. I want to practice this way. And it was honored. So you have that option.
Yeah, amazing. And then you mentioned your business a couple of times. I found that really interesting. Could you elaborate on what your business is and how you balance that and being a doctor?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very, very non-medical, and that's important. That was important to me. It's so I enjoy, like I told you earlier, exploring your hobbies and hidden passions that I didn't explore because I was training. But I love anything with women empowerment, speaking to women. And during COVID, one thing I used to do because I was so burned out and I was really at the lowest part of my life, honestly. Going to work, I would like wear lipstick under my mask. No one could see it. And I'd always said I want to live my lip service to the world. Nothing to do with lipstick. It was just living my legacy, my impact, my purpose. And during COVID, all of that morphed into me turning my lip service into a lipstick brand to help other women with their lip service. So, like I told you earlier, I do these events and we get women together. We have brunches and we play with lipstick and just have fun being girly and not missing out on the femininity of what it means to be a woman, which lipstick, who doesn't love lipstick? So I love lipstick. And so it's an inspirational lipstick brand. It's called VIP Lippy. But I use those, I just use it more. It's more of a distressor and I just enjoy and I love it. So on my off weeks, I spend more time kind of growing that and building that and just kind of, connecting with my clients or customers and having fun that way. So not a lot, it's not a high pressure thing for me because I don't want it to be. It's more of a fun, creative outlet.
Yeah, wow, that's
that's
amazing.
amazing that you can balance all of that.
Yes, you can. So like I said, when you this decide this is how I want my life to be, find a way to design that and just enjoy.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing.
Thank you so much. You have
Well,
a lot of good
you're
wisdom.
so welcome. It was a pleasure to help you ladies with your podcast. I think what you're doing is great. And I just want to encourage you to not give up on your dreams and your goals, whatever it may be in medicine or out of it, because life is not meant to be easy, but it's more fulfilling when you're honoring your core values and doing what's right for you. So keep doing what you're doing. Congratulations on the podcast, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you
Thank you
so
so
much.
much. Thank you so much to Dr. Babaniji for sharing her story with us, and tune in for our next episode coming soon. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at women.inscrubs to stay updated about our future episodes. And
to also DM us about possible specialties you want to see us interview. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.